pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Cole Pepper is here now with Cole Cuts straight from the locker room. And a look at all this weekend's sports, including the scandal roiling the Florida State campus. Hi, Cole.
Hello. You mentioned a silver lining. A touchdown scored at Everbank Field. And not just
amazing.
One, but two. It was, it's been a long time since last December, the last time the Jaguars scored a touchdown at a game at Everbank Field. Now, to be fair, there had been three games there this year, and it's not as if they'd played seven or eight, but still three's a long time to go without that. And so Jaguars fans, maybe a sigh of relief more than a celebration there. The Jaguars had a chance to do something they had not done since December of 2010, and that is win consecutive games. They do not in the 27-14 loss to the Cardinals. Think about that. December of 2010, the last time they won back-to-back games.
Again, no wonder, that hurts.
Yeah, no wonder the Jaguars fans are a little sick of losing. There was some very questionable officiating. They botched a fumbled punt that looked clearly like the Jaguars recovered it down inside the 10-yard line. Instead, they give it back to St. Louis or to the Arizona Cardinals. Dating myself there for a moment, and then the next play, Carson Palmer throws an interception. Russell Allen of the Jaguars intercepts it, but said no, a timeout was called just before that. And then the craziest thing I may have ever heard an official say. At a Jaguars game, anyway. There was a holding call, and they picked up the flag and said, no, there's no call. The player ran through the holding. So it's sort of like, you know.
What's the analogy?
I don't even know. It was odd. So the Jaguars are 1-9, and for the sixth straight season, they will not have a winning record.
Oh, man.
I know. I hate to be the dark cloud.
Yeah.
But maybe if you want another silver lining here, the Jaguars did go for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 38-yard line, wound up with a touchdown to Danny Noble, who, no, I didn't know who he was before he caught the pass. It was his first catch ever in the National Football League. They also tried a 60-yard field goal, which was exciting. Josh Gobe came up just short, his first miss of the year. Gus Bradley said, though, that he's going to continue to be bold with his approach, and in the locker room, the reaction was very positive to that kind of philosophy. Here is quarterback Chad Henne on the bold approach.
We're not going to shy down from anything, any opportunity out there. And, you know, some of those worked. I mean, 4th-and-2, heck, we scored a, you know, 70-some yard touchdown on that play. And, you know, Scobie was just right there with the field goal as well. But we're going to keep taking chances. I mean, we're a 1-9 team. What's there to lose out there? And we're just trying to get better each and every opportunity that we have. And we're going to take those chances.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a,
wow.
Yeah, why not?
They feel like they have nothing to lose.
Why not? Right? Have some fun with it. You know, let it all hang out. Now, that isn't a unanimous opinion in terms of it, that it's a why not situation. Veteran center Brad Meester says it's really more than that.
You preached about it all week, about being bold and stepping up. And, you know, we're not just going to sit back. And he had, you know, that was huge for him. I mean, he had a lot of confidence in us to go for it on 4th down, and we were able to step up and make big things happen.
Is it a, hey, why not? What do you got to lose at this point? Is that the mentality?
It's not really about we got nothing to lose. I mean, it's just about getting better, and, you know, you're not going to get better if you're just sitting back and, you know, not taking chances, I guess. So, you know, we're going to step up and take those chances, and, you know, maybe they don't always work out. But, you know, we're going to take those risks and
go down swinging,
go for it.
In other words.
That's right. I mean, we're not going to sit around and just let things happen. I mean, we're going to keep fighting and getting after it.
Who was it who once said, if you're going to fail, fail gloriously?
I mean, that's they're doing that.
Listen, at least it's going to be fun to watch, hopefully.
Right, right.
And then there is the hair story.
In
the second half, Jason Babb and the Jaguars defensive end made a tackle on Andre Ellington, the Cardinals running back, wound up with a handful of Ellington's dreadlocks. The only problem was Ellington's head was not attached at that point.
Yeah, that would have helped.
So here's Babin on his tryout as a barber.
I didn't realize it happened until it was stuck to my gloves. So I got done. It was stuck to my gloves. So what are you going to do? I don't even think he felt it. And then he saw it, and he's like, oh, man. He said he wanted to pick him back up so he could get him put back in. Because it takes a while, I think, to, you know, really get that kind of, you know, length, I think, on dreadlocks.
That didn't even hurt him.
He said he didn't hardly feel it. There was some question about whether it was natural hair or not, or whether it was aftermarket parts, but that, at least it was something.
I thought hair extensions were only the purview of my gender.
Apparently that may not be the case.
I guess not. I learned something today.
I'll have to get into the detail
okay.
of the hair world here in the NFL locker room. So the Jaguars next will go on the road. They face Houston, who's lost 8 straight. Tampa Bay won. And so this may be a game for the inside track on the number 1 overall pick. The Jaguars will also host the Texans 12 days later in a Thursday night game here in Jacksonville.
All right. And so as we go from pro football to college football, Florida State still doing well. But the big talk now is about famous Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it appears that a public records request from the Tampa Times and maybe some other media organizations has opened up a bit of a Pandora's box in a case that may involve Winston. Last December, there was a sexual assault complaint made in Tallahassee, and Winston's name was connected with the incident. It's not clear how or if he was involved. He was not charged then and hasn't been as of yet now. What everybody's asking is how the case took so long to get to the state attorney's office in Tallahassee. If Winston was bothered by this case or whatever it is swirling around, and it's still not clear exactly what this is going to be all about, it didn't show Saturday against Syracuse. He was 19 of 21, 277 yards and two touchdowns. Seminoles eke out a 59-3 victory over Syracuse.
Gator fans are making a lot of hay out of this, I've seen on social media. At the same time, Florida State fans feel that they see a conspiracy, that this is only coming out now that this guy is on a roll and getting a lot of national media attention.
In a way,
what do you think?
In a way, that's right, that the reason why it's coming out now. But I think, again, going back to the point that this all had been investigated and they didn't find a reason, apparently, to pursue it, but there is public record. And when, you know, a guy like Jameis Winston becomes the darling of college football, he's the flavor of the month. And you know, much like Johnny Manziel was last year as a redshirt freshman for Texas A&M, now people want to know more about Winston. All right, what's the backstory? Is there any dirt in his past and that sort of thing? And so that's why this came up at this time. I think it became public because of that public record search, and then TMZ got a hold of it, and next thing you know, it's all over everywhere.
Well, as we continue to follow that, you want to talk high school football, too.
Yeah, this is a great time of year for high school teams. Of course, the playoffs are here, first round of games in the state playoffs in the books. There are 11 teams in the area that won their first round games. Two games this week will match local teams Friday, including Clay at unbeaten Bishop Kenny. And then probably the most intriguing game, Bowles against Raines. Raines beat Bowles earlier this year, 45-31, in a game that was in doubt in the final seconds. The winners this week move to the state semifinals.
Wow.
And of course, Bowles and Raines offers such a great contrast.
A public tale school, of private, two cities.
Yeah, public school, private school, north side.
Yeah.
And, you know,
where are they playing?
And this will be at Raines again for the
Raines.
Second time. Yep. So, and I have the pleasure of calling those games on radio. So I was up there for the first one. And a great scene and great sportsmanship as well after the game, as the Raines team went down after a game-winning a game-ending interception for a touchdown by Raines. Afterwards, they went down and to shake the hands of the Bowles players down in the end zone. So this is a rivalry and a lot of contrast, but it's also built on mutual respect.
That will be interesting. So get out and support our local high school athletes and follow Cole on Twitter at Cole Pepper. Learn more about White Pepper Sports Marketing, his new business, while you're at it. Always a pleasure, Cole. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa.